Welcome to Comic Talk Today for Saturday, August 18th, 2018. And man, it has been a relaxing week. Now this episode that's coming in today, I was going to put out yesterday, but you know what? I've been on vacation. I put out a tweet and some people were like, yeah, take the day off, no problem. So thank you for that. I did have a nice week. No work for 1 week was really nice. I recommend if you feel a little dragged down, a little stressed out, definitely take a couple days off because it will help. Without further ado, this episode of Comic Talk Today will be another Secret Origins episode, which you guys really seem to like. If you haven't checked out the previous two, there's a Catwoman, and there's a Captain Marvel / Shazam that you can check out. Those have been out in the last couple of weeks. Because the first two were DC-related, I wanted to do a Marvel one for today. And of course, I had to pick my favorite Marvel character of all time. Oh man, that's tough. Alright. Definitely top three Marvel characters of all time, Moon Knight. So this will be Secret Origins Moon Knight. I hope you enjoy it. And there's going to be a reading list. If you want to read along with what I've read in order to make this episode, you can check out Werewolf by Night from 1972, issues 32 and 33. That's, of course, the first two appearances of the character. I'll be discussing Moon Knight from 1980. This is issue number one and issue number four. I'll be briefly talking about the West Coast Avengers from 1985, issue number 23, the 2006 series Moon Knight, issue 1 through 6, and the 2014 series Moon Knight, issue 1 through 6. Without further ado, let's talk about Moon Knight. Now I know many of you listening are already thinking to yourself, the reason you love Moon Knight is because he is the Marvel Universe's Batman. And let me tell you, I understand why people say those kind of things. In fact, in a couple of the series, I could definitely see it a little bit more. For example, in the original Moon Knight series and the Mark Spector series that Chuck Dixon did, I could kind of see that. But overall, for the history of the character, I don't really see the similarities of Moon Knight. Aside from the fact that there's a rich guy with a ton of money that fights crime, and there's a butler, then I don't really see the similarities. So I want to talk about some of that stuff on here. And of course, I'm going to kick off talking about Werewolf by Night number 32 and 33. I'm going to be talking about, whenever I'm doing multi-issues on this thing, I'm going to do it all together. I'm going to bundle the issues together because, I don't feel like, separating it out by issue by issue. But I'll give you the basic gist of the story of Werewolf by Night number 32. Of course, Werewolf by Night, a fantastic series. In rereading some of this stuff for this episode, I went back and reread, I think by now I've read the first 18 issues of Werewolf by Night number 30, or Werewolf by Night. And of course it follows the adventures of Jack Russell and his family, his sister, he's got some friends, and this werewolf curse. And Moon Knight was introduced in Werewolf number 32, written by Doug Mensch, fantastic character, fantastic writer. Of course I love him from, all the Batman work that he's done. And Don Perlin, who, he's done so much stuff that you can't even name it. But, yeah, written by Doug Mensch, art by Don Perlin, and this is a fantastic couple of issues that introduce Moon Knight. And basically what we have is there's a secret society called the Committee that decides to hire Mark Spector, who is previously a mercenary. He works for the Bushmen, a character who became one of his arch nemeses over the years. He works for the Bushmen, and they're out in Sudan, and the Committee decides to enlist them to trap Jack Russell. Why, we don't know. But they offer him 10 grand in order to find Jack Russell, the werewolf by night, the eponymous werewolf by night. And at first you might be thinking to yourself, 10 grand? Like, that doesn't seem like a lot of money. But remember, this is 1972. So I actually did the currency conversion to 2018 dollars, and that translates to $60,288 U.S. as of 2018. Now, I think that's a pretty good chunk of change. I would say that's probably about what most people make, or at least a middle class family income would be, $60,000. And you know, for one job to do this, I would say that's pretty good. And of course, this money is very important for the future of Moon Knight, because that's the money that he uses to fund his efforts. We'll get to that when we talk about some of the other series. Basically, Mark Spector is enlisted by the Committee in order to find Jack Russell, and they're like, hey, look, we love what you do as a mercenary, right? He's an ex-soldier. He's an ex-heavyweight, boxing champion. He's all kinds of things. He's a super guy. And, he's been doing some maybe shady things that we learn about in the next series, but he's best of the best. And the Committee has caught wind of this and they want to use him to get Jack Russell. They give him the Moon Knight costume. They give him weaponry. They give him, of course, the money, and they give him his assignment. And so Moon Knight goes off in search of the werewolf by night, and as part of his costume, he's got a lot of silver in it because, of course, werewolves don't deal with silver very well. So his gloves, he's got like brass knuckles, but of course they're made of silver and they have spikes on them. And he uses these weapons to kind of get at the werewolf by night because, again, werewolves don't like silver. He's got, of course, boomerangs shaped like moons that are also made of silver. He's got darts that are made of silver. He's got quite a few weapons. He's also got a baton. I can't remember what they call the baton. There's a technical name for it. That's also made of silver. By the way, the spike gloves, apparently a real thing. These were used by gladiators in ancient Roman times that are called the cestus. I thought that was pretty cool. Cause he refers to it as the cestus, and I'm like, what is a cestus? And, I looked it up and I found the information. So that was cool to see. And in fact, I really like when they have the cestus on the costumes. Not every costume has had that. In fact, the most recent ones have not had that. I think after the series, they might have shown up a little bit in the first volume of Moon Knight, but they were kind of gone for a while. And then they were brought back in Houston's run with David Finch in 06. So I'm going to talk about that when we get to that series. But basically, it's two issues of Moon Knight and Jack Russell fighting it out. Jack Russell, of course, in his werewolf form, not his human form. And finally, he's like, you know, I can't defeat this guy. He turns back into Jack Russell, goes to see his stepdad, and tries to get help to escape. And while he's there, of course, Moon Knight follows him. There's a whole tussle between Moon Knight and Russell's stepdad. And he manages to kind of hold him back for a little bit so that Russell can escape. But as he's escaping, you see the moon copter, because yes, of course he has to have a moon copter. And that's being flown by Frenchie, who is, of course, a central cast character for subsequent Moon Knight stories. And they follow him. Moon Knight drops in. He manages to grab Jack Russell and take him to the committee's lair. While in the committee's lair, they're like congratulating for a job well done. He's like, yeah, cool. Give me my money so I can get out of here. They give him his money. He's about to go. But they, of course, like all dumb villains, decide to explain what the purpose of them capturing Jack Russell is. And basically, they want to use him as a weapon. They want to use him to topple governments and kill people of power in order so that they can get more power and more money. And Mark Spector, while he's a mercenary, an assassin, he doesn't really like this kind of thing because he's got a little bit of a code. And that code does prove to be important in the first volume of the series. But he's got a code. He's like, you know what? I don't like you guys. He's like, you give me my money? I'm going to keep your money for doing my job because my job stopped at capturing Jack Russell and bringing him in. But I'm going to help him escape. So he kicks open the cage and Jack Russell, as the werewolf jumps out, they end up killing all the committee members and they go off. It's a pretty fun story, actually a really fun story, and it's extremely well written. There's a ton of action in this issue. One of my favorite lines is when Moon Knight introduces himself to Jack Russell. He says, yeah, Moon Knight, pretty stupid name, I know, but it'll do as far as you're concerned. And I like that, right, because that's kind of the play between the moon and the werewolf and all that, so it makes perfect sense. And there's a lot of these puns throughout the character as well, right, like Mark Spector, right? Think about the name Spector for a second. He's kind of like a ghost. And that's used a little bit in subsequent series as well. There's a lot of wordplay with that. So I really enjoyed Werewolf by Night 32 and 33. Highly, highly recommend reading it. Even though it's a, how old is that now? 40-year-old comic? 50-year-old comic? Holy moly, I'm getting old. It's a 50-year-old comic. It still holds up very well. And, you know, the art is not as great as kind of we are used to seeing right now in comics, but Don Perlin is a master of his craft, and just the action sequences alone are well worth it. So you will probably have to pick these up digitally. They're not cheap if you buy them in print. In fact, Werewolf by Night number 32 is the only Moon Knight appearance I do not yet own, and I've been saying this for years, and when it gets somewhat cheapy, I try to go pick it up, and I decide not to pull the trigger. And of course, because I keep on doing that, now it's a lot more than I want to spend for a comic. If you want to get a good CGC copy of this, you're talking about a few grand. So, I don't know. We'll see. I guess it must be all that Netflix speculation. Let's go on from there to Moon Knight Volume 1. This is from 1980, and we're talking about issue number 1 from 1980 and issue number 4 from 1981, which also happens to be the year I was born. So now I feel even older. Now, this series is actually pretty interesting because when we get the origin of Moon Knight in issue 1, it's quite a bit different from what we saw in the Werewolf by Night series. Basically, as the issue kicks off, we have Mark Spector. in this sedan, and he is part of a mercenary group that's being led by the Bushman, again, one of his villains. And it's pretty much established in this issue that he will become a recurring villain. Bushman's there, Frenchie's there, who of course is his kind of his buddy, his bodyguard, and they're all part of a mercenary group. And they are trying to squelch a revolt in the sedan. They don't really specify what the deal is, but basically Bushman takes great pride in killing innocent people. And so they're kind of going around different tribes and different villages, and they're basically just squelching any revolts, and they're taking whatever profits they can get. So if they have gold, they take all the gold, and this is kind of how Bushman funds all his operations, aside from the fact that he's getting paid to be a mercenary. And Mark Spector kind of doesn't like this, right? Remember, from Wolf by Night, he definitely has a moral code that he follows. And while he may be a mercenary, he does think that there's some things that they shouldn't be doing, like, for example, killing innocent people for gold. As this whole thing is going on, they learn about a dig very far south of Cairo, where an archaeologist has found a new tomb, and supposedly it's filled with gold. And so, of course, Bushman wants to go there to try to stop the dig and get all the gold. And they go there, the archaeologist ends up getting killed, but not before Mark Spector realizes that his daughter is also working for him, and his daughter will become very important. Her name is Marlene. She is his love interest in this series, and that relationship is explored quite a bit over the subsequent volumes of the book. Mark goes and talks to Marlene. She's like, look, Bushman's coming. He's the guy that killed your dad. You need to get out of here. And she's like, no, you killed my dad. You guys are a bunch of jerks. And Mark's like, you know what? This is not working. He's like, yeah, you're right. I did kill your dad. Get out of here before I kill you. And so she gets on a Jeep and runs off. And Bushman sees this whole thing. So he takes the golden dagger that he found on the archaeologist site, and they start fighting it out. Supposedly, he kills Mark Spector. Well, he's not really dead. He's dying. So he gets his whole crew to take him out and leave him in the desert. And while he's there, he gets picked up by some mysterious strangers who just so happen to be followers of Khonshu, who is the Egyptian god of vengeance that is so key in what Moon Knight becomes. The followers of Khonshu take him to the temple of Khonshu, and they're all there, and Marlene has happened to escape there as well. So she's like, this is the guy that killed my dad, and they're like, well, what do we do? And as that is happening, Mark ends up waking up in front of the statue of Khonshu. And there's a little hint here that maybe it was Khonshu that brought Mark back to life, although it's not explicitly stated, and it's not very supernatural the way it happens. He just kind of wakes up, and there's like a one-off liner, like, was he dead, or did he get brought back to life? Then he goes off and tries to find Bushman. So the rest of the issue, basically, Moon Knight or Mark Spector tries to find Bushman and get retribution for what happened. He ends up grabbing the cloak that's wrapped around the Khonshu statue in the temple and goes off. And this is kind of his first costume, right? He's just a regular dude in like a t-shirt and fatigues, but he's got a cape on. And he manages to defeat all of Bushman's guys. He destroys basically Bushman's armory. And him and Frenchie are like, okay, now Bushman's kind of done, right? He's got no weapons. He's got no army to lead anybody. Let's get out of here. So he decides to start a new life. And with some of the money that he got there, decides to create these new personas to try to hide who he is. Because, of course, Bushman could at any time come and find him. Now, this plays a very important role in the future of Moon Knight, because this is when we start getting the multiple personality thing that gets played around with a lot. That's not quite really what it is. So when Mark Spector comes back, he creates, of course, Stephen Grant. And Stephen Grant is a stockbroker. And this is what this personality uses, what he uses to kind of make up for the fact that he's got so much money. Because some of the money that he grabbed from the Sudan as a mercenary, he uses Stephen Grant to invest in the stock market. And that makes him more and more money. And of course, he's got a very lavish mansion out in Long Island. That's where he and Marlene and Frenchie and the rest of their staff live. They've got a butler, they've got a maid, and so during the day, he's basically Stephen Grant. Now, at night, he creates this other personality where he's a street-smart cab driver, and he just kind of goes around picking up people, and he learns about, like, what criminals are doing, this, that, and the other, and that personality is Jake Lockley. Again, another very important one. Then, of course, we have Mark Spector, who has kind of become a third wheel, I guess you could say. He doesn't use that personality as much, and, of course, Moon Knight, which he uses when he gathers all this information from Jake Lockley and Mark Spector and Frenchie and all his other crew. That's the information he uses to go after criminals in the guise of Moon Knight, with the money created by himself as Stephen Grant. not very complicated, right? I mean, you can kind of follow that, but you can definitely see the beginnings of this multiple personality thing. Although, as of right now, there's none of that in this series. There's no mention of DIS, the dissociative identity disorder. There's no mention of multiple personalities. None of that. Basically, they're just disguises. Okay? Kind of like Batman and Bruce Wayne. During the day, Batman is Bruce Wayne because that's his personality in society. And at night, he's Batman. Makes perfect sense. Now, of course, because of all of this, this kind of goes against the origin story established in Werewolf by Night 32 and 33. Because he becomes Moon Knight after finding this temple in the desert. And being brought back to life by Khonshu and going up against Bushman. So Doug Bench actually went ahead and redid the origin just a little bit to make this new story fit in to the previous origin story that we had. By the way, Doug Bench again writing this book, and the art is by the one and only Bill Sienkiewicz. This is actually one of Sienkiewicz's first Marvel works, Moon Knight Volume 1, Number 1. And he'll be on the series for quite a while. There was some kind of issue towards the latter end of the series in which Sienkiewicz couldn't really follow the schedule of the art. And there was this whole big thing where Sienkiewicz changed basically the entire script of one issue and submitted it. And that ended up being his last issue. And from my understanding, it kind of caused editorial at Marvel to basically put Doug Mensch in a little closet to write comics for the future. So really interesting on that. So with issue 4, we get a little bit of this change, right? So the committee is back after Mark Spector. So now we're getting a little call back to that Werewolf by Night story. And Mark kind of wants that stopped. Frenchie kind of feels, you know, he's like, you know, we know that they're after you. Let's figure out what's going on. And he tells Marlene kind of the story. Because remember, Marlene came in with this new volume. So she doesn't know the origin story of Moon Knight. All she knows is kind of that beginning. And that's kind of used to introduce us as readers to the connection between the two stories. So according to Frenchie in Moon Knight Volume 1, Number 4 from 1981, the real story is everything that happened in Moon Knight Volume 1, Number 1 is the true origin of Mark Spector and Moon Knight. But once all that happened and they left, Mark still was working as a mercenary of sorts, and he was the Moon Knight, right? That was his main thing that he did at night with the money that he gained as Stephen Grant. And so he wanted to infiltrate the committee, and he sent Frenchie out to join the committee and pose as a rich Frenchman. And while he was there in some of their meetings to try to, you know, create their plans to take over the world, he's like, hey, we should bring this Mark Spector guy in, and I'll create a costume for him. I'll give him weaponry. We'll call him Moon Knight. That sounds pretty good. Let's call him Moon Knight. It's great because we're going after a werewolf. So we'll call him Moon Knight, and you know, you guys, I'll bring this guy in, you guys talk to him, give him the mention, and we'll go from there. Well, as it turns out, part of the reason for this is they wanted to infiltrate the committee to take down the committee, because Mark and Frenchie knew that the committee were not nice guys. And so that's kind of how the origin story is retconned a little bit. So everything that happens in issue 1 of Moon Knight kind of happens way before the event of Werewolf by Night number 32. And so I like that. I think that's one way that the retconning worked pretty well. And now this is a good issue to read. So of course they do end up taking down the committee, and the committee do come back and forth into the series in subsequent volumes as well. But a really cool story. In fact, this first volume of Moon Knight is really interesting, really well done. You can definitely see a lot of the seeds for what Moon Knight becomes over the years, but thoroughly enjoyed it. The next time we have kind of a big change, I guess you could say, in Moon Knight is in the West Coast Avengers number 23. This is written by Mark Engelhart with art by Al Milgrom and Tal Ghul, and it's from 1987. Now, Moon Knight was really popular, right? That's when he got his own series. He was made a member of the Avengers, and as we learned much later on, he wasn't really a fan of being in the West Coast Avengers. Because the West Coast Avengers, sorry West Coast Avengers fans, are kind of like third-rate Avengers, right? And there's some issues in which Moon Knight deals with this, and we'll talk about that. This is kind of the, I believe it's the last part. There might be one more part after this. I can't remember. I didn't read the entire story, but it's like a 7 or 8 issue arc in which all the Avengers, along with the Fantastic Four, they're kind of thrown around time. So there's like multiple different storylines going on at different times in history. And the one that we're going to focus on is the one that happens in Egypt about 3000 BC. And the reason it's important is because, number one, they're fighting Ramatut, who is, of course, Kang the Conqueror, which may be my favorite Marvel character. But they're fighting Rama Tut, and the reason it's important is there's a group of people that are revolting against Rama Tut. And the majority of these people are actually followers of Khonshu. And Khonshu is key in this issue because he's mentioned a lot. A lot of the issue happens with them. Well, yeah, there's some fighting out in the desert, but a lot of it happens in the temple of Khonshu. There's a lot of Khonshu followers. There's a lot of Khonshu statues whenever we are in the Egypt section of the issues. And is of course, Moon Knight becomes very important. And as we learn, quite interestingly enough, Hawkeye is actually the guy that created a lot of the weaponry that Moon Knight uses in this story from 1987. So the followers of Khonshu really didn't have a whole lot of weaponry, right? They had like sticks and some bows and arrows, but basically just sticks. And Hawkeye's like, look, he's like, I'm a master weaponsmith. These guys need more weapons to fight the evil that is taking over the country. I'm going to create darts for them. I'm going to create these boomerangs for them. And of course, all those are in the shape of the weaponry that Moon Knight uses thousands and thousands of years later. 5,000 years later, in fact. So when Moon Knight realizes some of this stuff, he's kind of a little freaked out. He's like, wait a second, like, Hawkeye created this stuff? I thought that whole thing was kind of interesting, the way that they brought all that in. I don't really know that it was quite necessary to have Hawkeye do all this stuff, but I guess they wanted to have some more connections between the Avengers and Moon Knight because Moon Knight was part of the team at this point. Now, that doesn't last very long, and by Worst Case Avengers number 41, Moon Knight ends up quitting the team because this is kind of when we get Khonshu talking to Mark, to Moon Knight, quite a bit more. In this issue, Worst Case Avengers number 41, the story stretches all the way from this storyline that I just talked about that 23 was a part of. It keeps going and going, like the god Seth, who's also an Egyptian god, gets brought into the story. He's a big villain for the Avengers at this time. And Khonshu's like, look, I'm going to be leaving you, Mark. I'm not going to be, you know, with you all the time. He's like, you're still my spirit of vengeance, but, I need to go to this other plane and fight Seth because we're part of the same Egyptian pantheon and I don't like what he's doing. So I'm going to go over there and do that. So he almost seems like a more benevolent god, I guess you could say. This changes quite a bit, by the way, in the next book that we're going to talk to, but Mark kind of doesn't know what he's going to do, right? Because even he's had Khonshu with him the whole time, right? He died. He was brought back to life. Khonshu gave him meaning. And he's a little lost as to what he's going to do. And so he decides he's going to quit the Avengers, partially also because the West Coast Avengers are third rate. And that is an exact line from the next volume we're going to talk about, which is Moon Knight from 2006. I'm going to be talking about issues 1-6, written by Charlie Huston and David Finch. Now, what I found really interesting about this volume of Moon Knight, and this may be actually one of my favorite ones, in particular the first, like 6 to 12 issues, and part of the reason for that is we get reestablished with Moon Knight. And, you know, Huston, the way he wrote Moon Knight was very different than anything that had come beforehand, okay? Now, between 87, the West Coast Avengers, and 06, there were some other stories that popped in. Matter of fact, I think Mark Spector Moon Knight happened in 89, if I'm not mistaken. And, well, I'm not going to talk about the story here. If you want to read it, it's probably worth it. It's Chuck Dixon and Sal Velluto on art. And basically, a large chunk of this, there's a lot of stuff that gets kind of really thrown out of Moon Knight continuity. So that's why I'm really not talking about it too much. Moon Knight gets a sidekick called Midnight, who gets written out of Marvel continuity in a Spider-Man story. For a large chunk of this series, Moon Knight is teamed up with the Punisher and Spider-Man, and they are out to defeat the Secret Empire. And the only reason I'm talking about this is because of that. So, of course, Secret Empire was a big Marvel event pretty recently. This is actually the beginnings of Secret Empire, 1989. And Secret Empire is basically an organization that Hydra creates, and they use to kind of throw S.H.I.E.L.D. off the tracks of the stuff that Hydra is actually wanting to do. So if you want to read it, it's probably worth it just to get a little history of what the Secret Empire is, where that comes from. But I think overall it doesn't really impact the mythology of Moon Knight too much. Matter of fact, there's some changes into the way that Moon Knight leaves or decides to leave the Avengers as a result of the series. Thor puts Moon Knight on trial with the Avengers. I don't know if it's on trial when it's the Avengers judging, but it puts him on trial for things that he did against Dr. Doom. And Moon Knight's like, you know what? Screw you guys. You suck. I'm out of here. And so that's a little bit different than the Khonshu stuff that we saw in West Coast Avengers. But you know, like I said, if you're a Jug Dixon fan, maybe you want to read it. If you want to learn everything about Moon Knight and you want to check out this particular volume, go for it. But I don't think it's really necessary. However, back to Moon Knight from 2006, I do think that this one is very important. This book reads a lot more like a horror book. So I will preface that. There is a lot of ultraviolence, which, of course, Moon Knight became known for as an ultraviolent character during this era, maybe a little bit before even. And then, of course, all the way after until the Warren Ellis run. But it definitely changed the character quite a bit. The art is fantastic. David Finch draws one of the best Moon Knights I've ever seen. He's much more muscular, a lot more veiny. But I love the costumes that he uses. There are a couple of costumes that are used. One in particular, I think, definitely fits the Egyptian mythology a little bit more. So I really like that. But again, this is very much a horror story. In fact, in one of the first and second issues, there's no dialogue. A lot of it is inner monologue between Mark Spector and himself, kind of telling the reader the whole background story. And we do see the last time that he and Bushman fought. And there's a very creepy moment in which Bushman and him are fighting. They're almost both dead, right? Moon Knight, like, falls off a building, breaks both his legs. Bushman goes in for the kill. And Moon Knight throws one of his boomerangs at him, kind of gets him in the chest. Then he pulls it out of his chest and carves the Bushman's face off. If you've never seen the Bushman, he's got a death skull tattooed on his face. In this issue, Moon Knight basically cuts it all off and holds it up for the audience to see. Really, really gruesome stuff. So if that's not your thing, this may not be your volume. But there's some really interesting stuff, because after we learn all that story, we learn that Mark Spector is a broken man. And there's many reasons for that. For one, everything that happened with the Avengers is still kind of there in the background, right? He also feels like he was abandoned by Khonshu, right? And that's kind of the key here. After Khonshu left him in West Coast Avengers, he continues to be Moon Knight, but it's not quite the same because he doesn't feel like he's got his god that he can talk to. And so he feels abandoned by Khonshu. And then, of course, we have the final battle with Bushman in which he breaks both his legs and he's just kind of defeated. And we don't see a whole lot of what happens in the meantime between that battle and the present. But we do see that Mark has grown a long beard, long hair. He's in a wheelchair, and he lives in his bedroom. There's no furniture there. He just lives there on his wheelchair all day long in the dark. And Frenchie's not there anymore. He and Frenchie had a falling out because of all this. He and Marlene aren't dating anymore. He ends up beating her. We don't really see it, but there's one panel in which you see her, like, throwing a punch. So she has left Mark as well, and he's all alone, and not even Khonshu there with him. His butler's still there, his maid is still there, but they're not personally involved with his day-to-day. Although they do feel for him, and in fact, part of the reason that he ends up coming back as Moon Knight is because his butler sends him to meet up with Frenchie. He's like, yeah, Frenchie called, you should go, he wants to have dinner with you. So he goes to have dinner with Frenchie, and it is there that there's some new things in the origin as well. We learned that Frenchie is actually gay. He's dating this man who ends up becoming his husband in a different volume. And Mark's a little lost because he didn't know that he was gay. He's like, did everybody know? And Frenchie's like, yeah, everybody knew. Even Marlene? Yeah, even Marlene. Well, what the F? Like, I was your best friend. How did I not know? So there's that whole thing going on. Really interesting stuff. Well, as it turns out, Frenchie never called him. It was the butler that called Frenchie to meet up, said, hey, Mark wants to meet with you. And he tells Mark, hey, Frenchie wants to meet with you, because he feels bad for Mark and he wants Mark to get out of this rut, right? Mark is on painkillers all the time. He's taking Vicodins, and one of his best friends is kind of his drug dealer. And anyways, after this meeting with Frenchie, Mark's like, maybe I don't need this. Maybe I need to figure out what exactly is going on, because there's some weird things going on in the background. Like, for example, we know that there's a guy who kind of can almost predict the future. He's, and the reason he can do that is because he can gather so much data from people that he can predict their future actions based on what they've done in the past. And his first target is Moon Knight, because as it turns out, this is the new committee. These are the kids of the old committee from Werewolf by Night. These are the kids, and they've created a new committee, and their first order of business is to capture Mark Spector and use Moon Knight as kind of their spirit of vengeance. And one weapon that they use to bring Moon Knight in is what they call Operation T, and T stands for Taskmaster. So the Taskmaster plays a big part in a couple of these issues. And I definitely recommend reading that stuff. I think the way Taskmaster is handled here is hilarious. He's very creepy. I think his mask looks a lot more creepier than I'm used to seeing in Taskmaster, but I really enjoyed it. And in fact, even at the end, right, when Mark ends up getting away and Taskmaster goes back to the committee to get it paid, he's like, look, he destroyed my shield, my clothes are all ripped up. He's like, I need payment for those things as well, on top of my payment. And he's like, you promised me that when I got there, this guy would be broken. He'd be in a wheelchair and that he'd have no friends. And well, guess what? That's not true. He had this girl there and that guy was there and this guy shot me and that and the other. He's like, you need to pay me restitution for that. And of course, when all this happens, Moon Knight has followed him and he pretty much flies the moon copter into the building, killing everybody there. Really interesting stuff. As it turns out, there's a little hint here. This is when we all start with the Moon Knight is crazy thing. Charlie Houston is the one that did that. This whole time, Mark is kind of feeling bad for himself in his wheelchair, sitting in front of a statue of Khonshu, and he starts seeing hallucinations. Right? Marlene's dad shows up, Marlene shows up, and then she shows up in real life. Bushman shows up, a lot of these older characters. And the way they talk to him is really creepy, you know? If you read, for example, like Venom, you know how Venom's got the symbiote, and the symbiote talks to him, but as a separate entity? It almost plays around like that. Except Khonshu is talking to him in hallucinations. And so, of course, Mark is definitely crazy. And we do learn that he's got brain damage as a result of all his battles as Moon Knight. But basically, Khonshu's like, look, I left you because you were a broken piece of crap. And I don't want my spirit of vengeance to be a broken piece of crap. Everything that's happened to you over these, I mean, you know, 4 or 5 issues, everything that's happened to you is a result of me. I instilled the spirit of vengeance in the committee to bring you back, in order to get you to realize that your place in this world is to be my priest, my follower. And Mark's like, why'd you leave me this whole time? He's like, listen, quit being a little whiny baby. You can walk just fine. You don't need that wheelchair. There's nothing wrong with you. Get up and serve me again. And all that stuff was really powerful. And the way that it's told, it's very much like a horror story, you know, like you have a little ghost in the background talking to you, or a little kid goes into a cave and you see like trolls like, hey, I'm going to get you kiddies, that kind of thing. Super creepy stuff, especially when he's talking to Mark as the Bushman, because he's talking to him as Bushman with no face. And the skin mask, the face is on the Khonshu statue. Really good stuff. Of course, when we come back to the real world, we see none of this is happening. The face skin is not on the Khonshu statue, but really cool stuff, really well done. And so, of course, everything that happened, right, him meeting Frenchie again, the Taskmaster coming in, the committee showing back up, all that was a plot by Khonshu to get Mark to realize, you don't need to be this loser in a wheelchair taking painkillers all the time. Be my spirit of vengeance. And boy, does he have some vengeance. He murders a lot of people. So that's basically the gist of the first 6 issues. Really nice stuff. A lot of good callbacks to the original story. We do get our little recap of the origin story. And of course, this changes quite a few things for Moon Knight going forward. And, you know, we'll talk about Moon Knight 2014 next. The first 6 issues are written by Warren Ellis. That's the ones that we'll focus on, with art by Declan Shelvey, who, oh boy, fantastic art. Now, the reason I want to talk about this is there's not really a lot of changes in the origin story. But I think what Ellis did, and what Ellis always does, is change characters just a little bit enough to make everything that happened previously make sense, right? And that's kind of what he's doing with the Wildstorm right now. He's doing a lot of that in Wildstorm, and I think that's one of the reasons why I love that series. But the biggest change that Warren Ellis did is he changed the fact that Mark Spector is not really crazy, right? That had become a key thing for Moon Knight from the Houston run until Ellis took over in 2014. And I think that's still the reason that a lot of people think that Moon Knight is a crazy guy. He's got multiple personalities, or what they used to call multiple personality disorder, and it's not called dissociative identity disorder. As it turns out, Mark doesn't have that. And while he's on one of these trips to see his shrink, he learns that he doesn't have this. His shrink, in fact, tells him, look, you don't have DID. What you have is your mind is possessed by the spirit of Khonshu. And Khonshu has 4 distinct aspects, and it is those aspects that live inside you. And the aspects are Pathfinder, Embracer, Defender, and Watcher. This is brand new for Warren Ellis. By bringing in those 4 elements, it kind of explains away some of the craziness while tying it all back to Khonshu. So these four aspects of Khonshu manifest themselves in Mark Spector as different personalities. So Mark is the Pathfinder, Steven is the Embracer, Moon Knight is the Defender, and Jake is the Watcher. And of course, there's a fifth one that's kind of brought in here that ends up becoming kind of what Moon Knight is in at least the first six issues of the series. Things kind of change a little bit when Warren Ellis leaves, but at least in these six issues, there's another one. I think it's called The One Who Watches or something like that. I can't remember the exact title of it, but that's this new persona that Mark has created in Mr. Knight. And I want to talk about Mr. Knight because Mr. Knight is very different from everything that we've seen, right? So Mark has always been the spirit of vengeance for Khonshu. But Mr. Knight deals with the world a little bit differently. He still wears his white costume, but it's not the typical Moon Knight white costume. He's now in a white suit with a white mask that has the moon emblem on his forehead. And Mr. Knight actually works with the police. He's very violent, very vicious, and very crazy. You can tell that when he actually talks to some of the criminals that he's fighting. He almost seems, in some respects, a little Deadpool-y, but I think in a way that it really works. Because there's humor relating to the violence that's about to happen, but it's not over the top, and it's not gratuitous. And I think it works so well in the way that it's established. And you can definitely tell that Mr. Knight is the most far removed from Mark Spector, I would say, out of all the personalities. In fact, there's a little play in here that it's kind of, I would say, a joke on the whole Moon Knight is Marvel's Batman thing. When Moon Knight, or Mr. Knight, ends up grabbing this girl that was kidnapped. By the way, one of the best action sequences of any issue that I've read in the past, I don't know, 10 years or so, 15 years. Mr. Knight is going through this building. He has to get to the fifth floor to rescue this girl. And he's basically fighting different criminals in each one. Fantastic set of series. And a lot of this issue is told in 8 panel pages. It's beautiful to look at. Beautiful to look at. I highly recommend you check out Warren Ellis' first 6 issues, or only 6 issues. But, yeah, when he rescues the girl, he's like, hey, don't be scared. He's like, I know I look a little weird, but I'm here to rescue you. And she holds her hand up to his face and she's like, your face, she's like, your mask. It's not a mask. It's your face. And I thought that was really nice to see because that's really a callback to the whole Moon Knight is Batman kind of thing. But, I'm not going to talk about the rest of the 6 issues. It's definitely well worth checking out Warren Ellis's run. A lot of them read, they're vignettes. They're vignettes. Each issue is basically standalone, but all 6 issues tie in together. And I would say one of the most inventive and innovative things that I've read involving Moon Knight. So highly, highly recommended. It definitely reads a little bit like a horror story as well, but it's a lot more. There's a lot more espionage, crime thriller kind of stuff, and it works very, very well. So definitely recommend Moon Knight 2014 number 1-6 by Warren Ellis and Declan Shelvey. It's not going to change a whole lot about the character. But boy, is it a good story. That's going to wrap up this episode of Secret Origins Moon Knight. Thank you all for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you have suggestions on what Secret Origins you'd like to see in future episodes, let me know. I think the next one I'm going to do may be Martian Manhunter. I haven't decided yet, but that'll be out in a couple of weeks. If you want to give me suggestions, you can find me on Twitter @GeekVine. You can email nerdylegion@gmail.com. Thank you all for listening, and I'll be back on Monday with Top of the Pile. I'll catch you there.